Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Council of Elders show. This is episode 27, and I hope your day is going well. It's going well for me. So look, guys, we're going to have a rousing show this morning. It's wonderful. Mr. Brooks has a very special guest. He's going to be very helpful to young people today. They're going to be very inspiring. I'd like to start the show off by telling you the secrets of life. The secret of life is stop eating when you're still a little hungry. Wake up when you're still a little sleepy. Stop talking when you still have something left to say. That quote was from Mr. Art Reed. Now, guys, Mr. Jansen Brooks will now introduce his very special guest, and we pray that something will be said this morning that will be very inspiring to the young people. Mr. Brooks.
All right, Oscar. Thank you so much. We'd like to welcome everybody, and thank you for tuning in today to the Council of Elders call-in talk show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm excited this week for a couple of things. Number one, we got a really special guest coming up today, Mr. Justin Martinez from Sacramento, California. And also, just want to say that we had a great weekend last week with the Youth and Elders Goodwill Summit on Zoom call. We had young people, middle-aged people, and older people communicating. And when that can happen, that's always a good thing. And so we hope to have that on YouTube so that more people can see that, because it was very inspiring and very motivational. But today we have a special guest, Mr. Justin Martinez from Sacramento. And Justin, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
How you doing, Jansen? How's it going, everyone? Happy Saturday. Thanks for having me on the show. Very, very, very excited to be here.
Well, Justin, we're just as excited to have you here today because you have a story that doesn't get highlighted enough. You know, you look at the evening news and they always want to come up with something bad, you know, but you got a story that where you overcame a lot of obstacles in your life to be able to graduate college and start working, and now you are on your way pretty soon to be in graduate school earning your master's degree, I believe it, in social work?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Okay. Well, things are going pretty good for you right now, Justin, but they didn't always start out like that. Tell us a little bit about your earlier life, and then we'll evolve on up to where you are today. You from Sacramento,
yeah.
California.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the question. Again, my name is Justin Martinez, born and raised here in South Sacramento, California, where I started my life as the firstborn in my family. I'm the oldest of four siblings, my mother's firstborn. Early in life, you know, we started off difficult. You know, my father went to prison after the first year of my life for 18 months due to possession of drugs and narcotics. I thought he was making money to support us. And eventually my parents got married when I was 3 and a half. And that's when the domestic violence had started in my life, that started in my home, something that a lot of people couldn't see on the outside looking in, because if you look in on the outside of my life, it was a great life. You know, my dad coached me in baseball, football, boxing, dirt bike riding, camping, fishing, everything we would do as a family that were some great memories in my life. My mother, on the other hand, was our team mom, you know, always at our events, always advocating and rooting for her children from the sidelines. You know, we grew up in eventually we moved into a nice home when my father was working and doing well for himself. So it looked like everything was really put together on the outside. And it was in a lot of ways, but behind closed doors, what wasn't seen was the dysfunction of family life and the toxic stress of witnessing domestic violence performed on my mother by my father. You know, this was, again, reiterating, this started as early as 3.5 years old. I can remember on my parents' wedding day, my mother and father were waving out of the limo, saying hi to the groomsmen as we were passing through the parking lot to go to the reception. And we got back in the limo, and I remember my father slapping my mother and snatching her up by her hair for waving at one of the groomsmen, one of my dad's best friends. You know, he was a very insecure and jealous man, and he projected a lot of that violence onto my mother. And that's when it started, and it was frequent throughout my life all the way up to where I was a young adult, a young man. But eventually the domestic violence got so bad to where when I was 15 years old, they removed me and my 3 siblings from our mother because she was failing to protect us and keep us safe from a toxic environment. And my father was the abuser. So they put us in the Sacramento County foster care system. Again, I'm 15 years old, and life could have went two different ways for me. You know, I could have went down the wrong path and chose to hang out with the wrong people, which I had been doing at the time, or I could have stayed in school and kept my head down and really followed my heart and intuition towards educating myself. And we spent 1.5 years in the foster care system before we were reunified with our mother. Once we got reunified for our mother, the social workers check on you for another 6 months after you get back to make sure everything's okay. Right after that 6 month period ended, we were evicted from the home, that 2-story home, that white picket fence, that happy life that everyone's seen, you know, us having it all together and living in middle class, just doing it. We were evicted from that home, which was a traumatic experience in itself. And from there, we bounced around South Sacramento, living off government assistance. My mom supported us on food stamps, welfare, Social Security. As we moved to our grandmother's house, to another house on Mack Road, to another friend's house, until my mother was blessed with renting a house in Elk Grove again. You know, God works in mysterious ways, and she was able to rent a home for us, and her and my father decided to get back together. At this time, you know, it was definitely good to have our parents together. You know, we definitely didn't want them separated. We missed our family, but things just didn't change. Things got worse. One day when I was 19 years old and we're living in the home, let me back up just 1 second. I barely graduated high school when I was 17. I became the first in my family to graduate high school. I was after foster care, after bouncing around South Sacramento. And yeah, it was a very pivotal point in my life and my story to be the first person to finish high school in my family. My mom didn't finish due to a car accident, and my father had to drop out because my grandfather went to prison, and he had to start helping my grandmother run a paper route and support the family, you know. So it was big. I graduated high school, and then we moved into that Brown Road house in Elk Grove, and my parents got reunited. But the domestic violence was still present. The toxicity was still present. The dysfunction was still present. One day, me and my dad were playing air guitar and the drums in the living room as we were jamming out. And my mother comes downstairs, and removes the stereo that we're playing, my dad's stereo, off of her wicker basket, you know, and my father didn't like that. He got really upset, and my mother kind of got into a little scuffle with him, and my dad ripped the extension cord out of the wall and started whipping my mother in the face with it. And at that moment, at 19 years old, I had seen enough. I had seen enough of the domestic violence. I had seen enough of the abuse, and I was tired of it. So I stood up to my father in my mother's defense, and I beat him down. You know, the abused becomes the abuser. And, you know, it was a difficult moment in our life, but that's when my dad took off for good. And it was just my mother, I, and my siblings, you know, holding the fort down, doing what we could to survive. You know, and I'll end the story there. You know, we got more to talk about dancing. I'll let
okay.
that come out naturally.
Okay. Well, during high school, you were obviously going through a lot of trauma at home. Did that affect your high school grades or attitudes and so forth?
Absolutely, yeah. I was the student that always went to school but never did his homework. You know, when you go home, it's kind of hard to focus. It's kind of hard to focus when you got a lot of things going on at home, you know, and you're the oldest of your siblings, and you got to, you know, be the leader and keep your siblings safe and keep them away from watching the abuse, you know. And it was definitely hard to learn how to apply myself to my schoolwork. My grades were very bad. I kept my grades up during football season, and they dropped in the winter, and then I kept them up during baseball season. And, you know, it was just back and forth. I was an average D student at best, you know, D's and F's mostly. But, yeah, it was definitely hard to focus. You know, I loved going to school, but just didn't have the structure at home to apply myself the way I should have.
Right. And you played, was it basketball, baseball, football? I mean, you played sports in
baseball,
high school, did you?
Baseball, football, yep, baseball, football, boxing, you know. We would dirt bike ride on the weekends. My dad always took us fishing and camping. You know, that was our life, you know, football and baseball, travel ball. All three of my siblings, and my sister was a cheerleader, you know, so – we were always doing something. We had to travel here. We had to travel there. We had to go here and go there, you know, for games and all throughout my life.
Right. Well, so you graduated from high school. What year was that?
That was 2008.
2008?
I graduated high school from Sheldon High School in South Sacramento.
Oh.
Huskies.
Okay.
Home of the Huskies, baby.
Right. It's not too far from me. So how was life after high school?
It was difficult. Like I said, you know, after foster care, things got worse because my parents were separated. My mother struggled financially to support her four children, you know, as a single mother. And my dad, you know, he just did his own thing. He did what he wanted to do, and, yeah, we lived at several of his girlfriend's house, you know, growing up, you know, very unstable where we always were with him, you know, and the story goes deep. But after high school, I wanted to play baseball and football at Sac City. I went to college. I went to junior college, and I really enjoyed playing baseball and football. That was my dream at the time. It wasn't school. It was football. You know, so I focused on that, and I played a year of junior college football. And after that, it was time for the house that we were in was going up for sale. And my parents didn't have the credit or the finances to get the house. You know, they wanted to buy the house, and they didn't have the credit. So they asked for my credit. And, you know, we put my name down on the house because I was getting a lot of pressure. You know, from my mom, from my dad, about us being uprooted again and relocated and bouncing around all, and all that, and I just didn't want that. So I did what I had to for my family so that we could keep a stable roof over our head, and I signed escrow on the house in 2009.
And how old were you then?
I was 19. Yeah, I was 19. 19 wow. years old, man. I know. It's yeah.
That must have been a big deal, yeah. Signing escrow on a house.
Yeah, yeah, it was a big deal, man. I didn't know what I was doing looking back on it. But, you know, my dad eventually left after I stood up to him and dethroned him as the man of the house. You know, he left, and then it was a real struggle. We got evicted from that home. I had to file for bankruptcy, and then I was lost. You know, we moved out, and I moved into my one of my friends' back houses, you know, and paid $300 to rent, and then, you know, quit school and started washing dishes to support myself and, you know, to do what I can. Eventually moved out to Vegas for 6 months, you know, trying to find myself, you know, on a whim. Ended up coming back home and trying to go back to school, but just didn't have any stability for myself or any financial support. You know, wasn't making a lot of money, and I was diagnosed with juvenile arthritis and started having surgeries due to all the time playing sports and beating up my body. So I was definitely lost, you know, 22 years old, trying to bartend. I started bartending and serving and got a little bit of money in my pocket. 23, had surgery, and then 24, still having surgeries, but decided to go back to school for a third and final time. I had quit college twice after baseball and football, and then once when I moved back from Vegas, I tried to go back to college. It just didn't work out, D's and F's again. Started all over in 2014, and this is the biggest point in my life up to this far. You know, I found my support. The Guardian Scholars Program at Consumnes River College. The Guardian Scholars Program.
The Guardian Scholars Program.
Yeah. The Guardian Scholars Program is a support program for current and former foster youth college students. Counseling, helping out with financial aid support. You know, taking you on college tours, giving you an educational plan, providing what they could as far as basic needs, you know, supplies and food vouchers, things of that sort. Whatever it is that the college students need, the program provides for them. And once I found this support, Jansen, it was all downhill from there. I knew that I had never been to college and no one in my family had ever been to college. But now I have the support that I need to get good grades and to build some momentum and to learn and educate myself. I knew that the best way to set a good example for my family was to go and educate myself. And I fell in love with learning. I fell in love with the adversity of navigating the collegiate system. You know, they tell you it's a 2-year degree. It took me 4 years from 2004. To get my associate's degree. I became a transfer student. I got 3 associate's degrees at Consumnes River College, and I transferred to San Francisco State University in 2018 to get my degree in psychology. Now, last year, May 2020, I became a first-generation college graduate. I'm on top of the world right now. You know, I couldn't feel more accomplished. I couldn't feel more motivated to keep learning, to keep growing, to keep seeking out adversity in my life, because adversity is what has showed me who I really am in those moments of overcoming and being an overcomer. So I graduated last year. I've been in this internship with Brother Be Well. I want to talk to you about. And now I just found out this past weekend that I've been accepted into the Graduate School of Social Work at San Francisco State, the Title IV-E program, and I'm on my way.
Oh, okay, okay. Justin, let me take just a moment to just let our audience know that you're listening to Blog Talk Radio. Our guest today is Justin Martinez. And generally, I give the purpose of the Council of Elders at the start of the show, but I guess I got so excited today, I forgot to do it. So let me just briefly say that.
No worries. Yeah, do that.
The purpose of the Council of Elders is to give advice, counsel, and life experience to younger people. Advice that can help them navigate successfully through life, deal with issues, and avoid some of the pitfalls that can affect everyone. The concept is based historically on African culture, where elders in the community had council members to help guide and encourage tribe members, settle disputes, etc. Young people, if you're listening, you're invited to call in today with questions or issues. Our dream is to have a Council of Elders group or organization in every community in America, and for the Council of Elders to be known about in the community so that people could have an opportunity to get advice from elders about their concerns. But it first starts with a single Council of Elders group. So we're assembling a group of elders here in Sacramento. We have about 8 at this point. We'd like to have about 10 volunteers. Once we get enough volunteers, we can go to youth centers, juvenile halls, boys and girls clubs, churches, etc. We can also be available to young adults as well. Sometimes they need advice on how to raise kids, how to get along in their careers, their marriages, etc. Moving forward, this is an effort to bridge the gap between young people and elders. The younger generation today and the older generation should start to merge. The Council of Elders is an effort to do so. And Justin, let me just say that one of the missions that we have is to inspire positive generational change in families, so that families can move up in moral and socioeconomic status. And you sort of epitomize what we are trying to do, you know, moving forward, so that. You came up from rather humble circumstances, and you went to school. It didn't work out. You went back, didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
But you had the strength to keep going, and eventually you found out about the Guardian Scholars Program. And you know, sometimes you have to be at the right place at the right time, and you put yourself at the right place to get some help, and the rest is history. But you're telling me about your life right now. Go ahead, Justin.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. You know, it all starts with me giving myself permission to ask for help and to be vulnerable, to be a vulnerable man, you know, and just to tell the truth. I am here. I'm in college. I've never been here before. My parents, my family, no one has ever been this far in my life. Where is my support? You know, how can I support myself? How can I find ways to get through college without the rigors and the stresses of financially, you know, trying to figure it out? Because, you know, everyone knows that, you know, people tell you college costs so much money, you know, and it does, but there's a lot of support there for you to help you out with that.
Right. And so,
Mr. Brooks.
Yes, sir.
May I interject here? This is Oscar Besant, your broadcast engineer. We have a guest who would like to make a comment. He is caller 3606. Stand by.
Good morning, caller. You're live on the Council of Elders show. Please state your name, where you're calling from. When you ask your question or make your comment, please mute your phone.
Good morning. This is Michael Gann. How you doing? I just wanted to chime in. I wanted to speak to the young man, Justin Martinez. He's a dynamic young man. We worked together with the Brother Be Well project, which is coming up very soon. As a matter of fact, in April, I can almost say next month. but he is somebody who is definitely on the rise. I know that he's going to create a great following, and he's going to be able to assist those who have lived a life similar to his and be able to pull them up to a point where they can be successful too. And I just wanted to say thank you, Justin, and to show you that I do support you, I love you, and just keep up the good work.
Thanks a lot, Michael. Love you too, man.
All right. That's Justin. While you were in college, did you have a favorite teacher or a favorite subject?
Yeah. Psychology was what found me. You know, I always say people try to look and find out what their degrees are, but my degree found me, and I feel like that's the best way to do that. Psychology and the development of, you know, human behavior, that really pulled me into developing myself and, you know, learning what mental health support looks like and what the brain does when you experience trauma or you identify with adverse childhood experiences, you know. And my favorite professor in college at Consumnis River College is Dr. Frazee, Dr. James Frazee, the great, you know, the bearded goat, man. He really kept it. He just kept it real with me, Jansen, because in statistics, the class that I took, I was so terrified of this class, and he was the professor. I flunked it, and I went to his office hours after I flunked the test, and I was just going to tell him that I'm going to drop the class because I don't think I can pass it. I know I'm not going to pass it. And he sat me down, and he said, "You know, Justin, if you quit now, you're always going to quit. Just the first test. You can still pass this class. I think you should stick it out." And I stuck it out. I passed the class with a C-, you know, barely passed the class, but I did it. And that man instilled in me something that I'll never forget. You know, just because something's hard doesn't mean you shouldn't go forth and still do it anyway. Doing what is hard makes life a little bit easier. Thank you, Dr. Frazee. Shout out to him.
Right. Well, so now let's talk about some of the programs that you're working in right now. Tell us a little bit about the Brother Be Well.
Yeah, I'm an intern for Brother Be Well. I'm a youth advocate for Brother Be Well. I'm a content contributor for Brother Be Well, and I'm a multimedia platform host for the Brother Be Well Youth Chat series. Brother Be Well is a new initiative that provides support and promotes mental wellness for boys and young men of color, Asian American, Native American, Pacific Islander American, African American, Latinx, and you can identify as LGBTQIA+ within that community. And in this community of Brother Be Well, we dive into the of trauma, mental health, how to stay resilient, how to find healing, and, you know, all the struggles that we're dealing with in our life, we talk about as men in the platform. Michael Gayton, who jumped on earlier, he's my peer. He's my advisor too. He's one of the Brother Be Well's advisors, and we jump on and we talk to these young men about how to stay resilient and how to heal from their mental traumas.
And what are some of the issues that these young men have? I'm not going to ask you to be too detailed, but can you kind of like generally?
Yeah, the biggest thing I see is these young men are lacking a safe space to express their feelings and to share their vulnerabilities. You know, they need to know that they can give themselves permission to do so. And in that space, we could talk about what's really bothering us, you know, because in our culture as men, we don't share our feelings too often, you know. We're taught to be tough and to hide and to suppress our what's really going on inside of us, you know. And we know that
big boys don't cry.
That's right. That's right. They rub some dirt on it, you know. Yeah, a bunch of things that go on with these young men. Another thing that I see is just a lack of role models, a lack of representation of what a man really is, you know, for them to look up to somebody that they idolize or that influences them. They don't have too many men, good men to look up to. So we're trying to develop that man from within together. You know, I'm doing the work just as much as they're doing the work. And, you know, there's that saying that goes, you're never too young to teach and you're never too old to learn. And that's exactly what happens in our relationships that we build with the Brother Be Well community. I'm constantly learning from these young men, and hopefully I'm giving them something that I could teach them.
Mr. Brooks?
Right, right.
This is Oscar again. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to make a comment or ask a question, press 1 on your phone. Our guest this morning is Justin Martinez from Sacramento, California. His inspiring story is being spun right before your very ears. Mr. Brooks, continue.
Justin, so I would imagine right now you guys are doing most of all your work on Zoom, or how do you have the COVID situation now, so.
Yeah, absolutely. Mental Health California is based in Sacramento. I currently live in San Francisco, where I'm going to school here in the fall to start my master's program. We are on Zoom. We are all virtual, you know, and, you know, we're still able to connect with each other. We're still able to build relationships and to dive as deep as we give ourselves permission to go, you know. So it's been a blessing. It's been the biggest blessing in my life up to this point to be
right
on the Brother Be Well platform.
Right. And how long have you been working with Brother Be Well now?
A full year. It all started with the youth listening sessions in South Sacramento and in Oakland last year, where we spoke to current and former foster youth students or formerly in justice involved youth who have been in juvenile hall. There last January in 2020, I shared my testimony of telling the story of the mental health effects due to domestic violence and episodic memories and my identification with 7 out of 10 adverse childhood experiences. And I told my collegiate journey. I told my story. You know, that was my last semester as a college student before I graduated, and I needed to go and spread the word and advocate for the foster youth students and to let them know that there's support there for them in California, in the California State University system. Whatever they want to do, they could do it, and I was just there to let them know that.
Right, right, right. I know you were mentioning to me earlier about the statistics of foster kids. Could you reiterate that?
Absolutely. So nationwide, only 4% of current and former foster youth graduate with a college degree. Less than 4% get their education. And that has a huge effect on where or what is more probable for current and former foster youth. You know, when you age out of the system, you're more likely to go to jail and be incarcerated. You're more likely to become homeless, jobless, unemployed, get addicted to drugs and abuse substances, to be sex trafficked. The list goes on and on for the negative probabilities for current and former foster youth. You know, it's not expected of you to go get an education, whether that's non-traditional and you go to a trade school or whether that's going to junior college and getting your associate's degree or going and getting your bachelor's degree, that's not probable for you. That's not predicted for you. So as I identify with being a former foster youth myself, I take a lot of pride in being a part of the 4% club and trying to make that number go up by spreading the word and advocating for the foster youth who want to go to college, who want to educate themselves. Just know it's a possibility. Just know that there's nothing that you cannot do if you find your support and then set your mind to it and apply the hard work to create the outcome that you want.
Mr. Brooks?
Right.
We have another caller.
Go right ahead.
Can I let him in?
Yes, go right ahead.
Good morning, caller. You're live on the Council of Elders show. Please state your name, where you're calling from. When you ask your question or make your comment, please mute your phone.
Yes, good morning. Ron Rogers, Sacramento, California. Pleasure hearing from you again, Justin. We're getting more detail about who you are and what you're becoming. It's a beautiful thing, and I'm glad to pat you on the back and say just continue it. In listening to your story, I don't hear a lot of difference in what a lot of people have been saying for a long time. As the Lord said, you'll always have the poor with you. And that's the reason that I do congratulate you so on coming from the foster system to be so determined and be a guide for others. Again, this is just one of those things where you do better when you can. And when you can, you teach others to do better. So again, bravo. There's a couple of different things. I feel like, number one, with our new group, if you will, you're exactly what we're looking for. But I've heard you mention like 2-3 different groups that, you know, are associated but non-associated. You have the, you know, abused children like yourself. You have those just have fallen through the system. And then you have, like, the people, like you were saying, coming out of jail. I mean, first time there, and they fix to go down a slippery slope and just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
What would be your best advice to get to those people?
If they're struggling and they feel like they may be on the right path, or maybe they can't see, you know, that they're on the wrong path, if they are, I would really start to surround myself with good people, some positive people, and I would use my vulnerability as a superpower. If you're out there and you're one of those people, one of those kids, don't be afraid to ask for help. You cannot do this alone. And it's a huge weight lifted off your shoulders when you come to that conclusion in your life, to where you don't have to feel like you have to put all the pressure on you. We're all a community. There's people out there that want to help. There's people out there that want you to succeed, and, you know, you got to want to succeed more than those people, but they're going to be there to give their hand and to spread it out and give it to you if you're willing to take the help. You can't see, asking for help as a weakness, or, you know, I can do this on my own. You know, that can only take you so far until you find your support. That's when all the doors start to unlock themselves.
And I do appreciate that, just for what it is, because that, in talking to one of our members, he was saying, well, it's as young as 3, 4, 5 years old. And you're exactly what we're looking for, the way I see it. Mm-hmm. Because, see, you're still mm-hmm. young enough to remember,
right?
To, like you say, have a little insight. You know when something's going wrong. Mm-hmm. And that's where the rest of us really want to be. We want to be of help, as you say.
Yep.
In whatever need.
Yep.
In whatever way needed, and that is kind of what we're looking for our direction. How are we going to get to those folks?
Right.
All right.
You know.
Thank you.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, good.
No. That's fine, Jensen. That's fine.
I wanted to make sure we talked about the services that are available. Now, you mentioned hearyou.org, Psycho Lab. That's where your mother, you know, went for some counseling for her earlier trauma. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. The hearyou.org is based out here in Sacramento. As well, it provides free counseling and therapy for its community members out here in Sacramento. You go online to hearyou.org/SACCOLAB. hearyou.org/SACCOLLAB. And there you type in a little bit of your information, and you pick an appointment date, and they call you that day to set up a counseling appointment. If you're struggling,
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
If you're struggling with mental health issues, or if you're feeling depressed, feeling anxious, or you don't know what you're feeling, and you're having trouble, please don't be afraid to reach out and ask for help. There is help for you. Go to the website hearyou.org/SACCOLAB for free counseling and free therapy for its Sacramento community members. If you live outside of the county, they do have affordable services for you. Please look into it. Don't be afraid to ask for help and use your vulnerability as a superpower.
Okay, so they actually have free psychological counseling and guidance here in in this area.
Yes, they do.
Hearyou.org/SACCOLLAB, SACCOLLAB. And for anyone listening, you feel like you would like to talk to somebody, you maybe have a low budget, you can't afford, help, you can get some free psychological counseling. So.
Yeah. And to add on to that just a little bit, Jansen, you know, I got my mother enrolled in it. She's been in it for a month now, and it's been long overdue. You know, she has a lot of post-traumatic stress due to the domestic violence that was, you know, performed on her and the abuse that she grew up with in her home, you know. And my mom has been long overdue to get some therapy. We finally came to the conclusion to where I found some help. She wanted to get help, and I couldn't be more proud and happy for my mother and for her to take that step in taking care of herself.
Right. Has she given you any feedback as to, you know, is it helping or?
Yeah. It's definitely helping. She's got a smile on her face. You know, she feels relieved every time she goes. She definitely feels like a weight is lifted off her shoulder, that she has someone that she can relate to, that she can express herself with, you know, and she could feel heard and she feels safe. And, you know, she doesn't feel judged by anything that she's talking about. You know, she's just expressing herself and working through some difficult things that she struggles with.
Right. Well, that's good. That's good to hear that, you know, she's getting some help and it's making her feel much, much, much better. That's a good thing. Okay. Let's digress back a little bit.
Yeah, let's do it.
I know you said that at one point earlier in your life, you were hanging out with the wrong people, and you were telling me about one of your friends that didn't quite, he didn't quite make
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, in foster care, when I was 15, before that, I had my first childhood best friend. We'll just call him Trev. And, you know, we grew up together playing baseball, football, boxing. Our dads coached us. We went dirt bike riding. We went fishing. We did it all together as a family. You know, our parents hung out with each other. And, you know, we were young. You know, we were young men just learning what life is all about. You know, definitely did some foolish things together, started hanging out with some people that probably weren't, you know, the best for us. And then all of a sudden, we get taken from our parents and we go to foster care, and me and Trev lost touch, you know, and he continued to hang out with certain people that weren't good and healthy for him. And I went on a different path, you know. Foster care put me in on a different road. And I went to school, I stayed in sports, and I eventually, you know, went to junior college to play football and baseball. And when I found out I was transferring from Consumed Server College in 2018 and I was going to San Francisco State, I moved on August 3rd. And the day before that, found out that Trev was shot and killed due to gang violence. And that was super tough on me, and it really put things into perspective to think about, you know, what if I would have kept hanging out with people who weren't good for me, and where would I be, where would my life go, you know, because we're the same age. And unfortunately, he's
Mr.
no
Brooks,
longer with us.
We have 12 minutes of show times left, but we have one more caller who would like to make a comment.
Go right ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, caller. You're live on the Council of Elders show. Please state your name, where you're calling from. When you ask your question or make your comment, please mute your phone.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning to you this morning, Justin. I did see you on the Zoom call last week, and I could see the excitement in you as you told us a little bit about your story, and you continue on it this morning. But you have touched on a lot of things that the Council of Elders has been seeking to provide and to go forward with youth and young adults. And you touched on a very important point, which is your situation does not have to be your destination. Whatever situation that you are in life, it can be overcome once you realize God has put within you certain gifts. Even though situations might try to suppress that gift, you still have what he has granted each and every one of us, which is a choice. You can choose to become, you can choose to remain being poor in spirit, or you can choose to have your spirit lifted by those who God has put around you. You mentioned your college professor who did a good solid for you, who inspired you. And believe it or not, your story this morning inspired a lot of youth and young adults, as well as elders, because some of us elders have come this far and we still don't get it. But it's never too late to learn. I applaud you. Continue on. And you have the right stuff within you, and you are doing some great things by your blog that you're doing. I mean, that you're involved in, and the organization that you're involved in, to reach back and bring up others who have a similar situation like yours. So I applaud you. Thank you much.
We have another caller, Mr. Brooks.
Okay, go ahead. Let me talk.
Good morning, caller. You're live on the Council of Elders show. Please state your name, where you're calling from. When you ask your question or make your comment, please mute your phone.
Good morning. My name is Malcolm Hughes. I'm calling outside of Atlanta, Georgia. I just want to say to Justin, I ditto what Mr. Williams has just indicated, everything he said. He said a lot of what I want to say. But your words of wisdom, I've learned a lot from you today. I've been inspired by what you said to us today. And I just want you to know you helped me to relate to young people that I am trying to motivate to go a different direction or to improve themselves in life. And so you taught an old 60-something-year-old man some things today, and I thank you for that. I won't take up any more of your time.
Appreciate that. Appreciate that. Thank you. Glad to be
right,
of service.
Right. Justin, we got about maybe around 9 or 10 more minutes to go. And like you to talk a little bit about your passion and your future goals. What do you want to do? I know you spoke about you wanted to get men to have permission to be vulnerable. So could you just, your past, what makes Justin tick?
You know, a lot keeps me on fire. A lot keeps me on fire, Jansen. That's a good question. You know, first and foremost, doing right by myself and doing right by my family is what keeps me going. It's what keeps me determined, you know, keeping a smile on their face and making them proud along with making myself proud. Gives me the passion, you know, to show my family, my friends, my community, others who are in similar circumstances or situations that I'm passionate about, giving you permission to be vulnerable and to ask for help. Whatever that may be, don't try to take on life by yourself, because it's not possible. You need help. You need a community. You need a village to grow yourself. And that's a beautiful thing, you know, and it really gets me going to see the growth in young people and young men that I'm not far removed from. You know, I'm 30 years old, but we're learning and growing together. That really gets me going, because I can see the light bulbs clicking in their head. I can see, you know, my sister being inspired and going back to school. You know, she's 21 now, going to be 22 in a few days. You know, all the ripple effect of me climbing the ladder of what I call my success and educating myself, and how that affects and impacts the world around me. You know, if I grow, then we all grow. You know, that's really what keeps me passionate. As I wear my vulnerability on my sleeve as a superpower wherever I go in life, you know, how can I help and where is my help? You know, that has really gotten me to this very moment. It's gotten me this far in life, and I won't change that, you know, for the world. I keep my vulnerability with me as I develop myself into a man that I admire.
Right, right, right. And so at some point, as if you mentioned you wanted to be a motivational speaker, maybe travel and spread the word.
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely. Once I get my degree in social work, you know, I get my license as a licensed clinical social worker, I'll have the clinical perspective along with the lived experience as I travel and speak to other former foster youth or foster youth you know, in the nation, wherever. I want to travel. I want to share my story. I want to share my testimony. I want to motivate, empower, encourage, inspire, and influence young lives, you know, or anyone of that sort who has a listening ear, because there's nothing that we can't do in life, you know. We have no limitations when we find our support and we set our minds to doing what it is that we want to do. Whatever that looks like, you know, maybe it doesn't look like school, and maybe you want to do something else. You want to work for yourself and become an entrepreneur. Whatever it is that you want to do, just know that it's doable. Just know that it is possible. The only person that's going to get in your way is you. You know, once you become an adult, you have a responsibility to yourself. And once you take that responsibility seriously, nothing is going to stop you from doing what you want to do.
Let me ask you something,
ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have 5 minutes of show time left. I want to make two quick comments. First of all, if this show has been a blessing to you or a benefit to you, please pass it on. blogtalkradio.com. Type in the search bar, Council of Elders. And we'd like for you to share this number that you dialed in on, 516-387-1611. We're on every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock Pacific time. Please share this number, because this inspirational show today with Mr. Jansen Brooks and his special guest, Mr. Justin Martinez, has been such a blessing and such a benefit. It must be shared. This is what the whole concept of Council of Elders is about. Please continue. We have 4 minutes of showtime.
All right. Thank you, Oscar. So, Justin, as far as show, we've got a few more minutes.
Yeah.
Give us some closing, conclusions. Maybe tell us a little bit about, I know what I wanted to ask you, Justin. Where mm-hmm. did you get your attitude? That's what I wanted. where did that come
from? I have to say that I've been a positive person my whole life. I get a lot of my attitude and stick-to-itiveness from my mother. She inspires me all the time. She's always taught me to speak up and use my words, never let anything strip your spirit and to go for it. Whatever it is that you do, don't hesitate, go for it, and do it 100%. That's just developed me and my attitude. I see that, life has happened for me and not to me, I used to play the victim card. I used to be like, oh, poor me. Why me? Why foster care? Why domestic violence in my home? Why evictions? Why did my parents go to jail? Why are the lights off? Why am I struggling? I definitely played that early on in my life, into my early 20s, and until I realized that it was all happening for me, because if it wasn't for foster care and going and being in that experience, I wouldn't have found my support to go to college, and I wouldn't, who knows if I would be a college graduate today, because my parents can't afford for me to go to college, and I couldn't afford it myself either. So finding that support really made it a reality that an education is possible for me. And as a result of that, I've made myself proud. I've made my family proud. I've made my community proud. And now I'm able to give that knowledge, that insight, and share it with others who want to join me on that journey.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. You have an attitude that's will make you unstoppable, and I'd like you to keep that positive attitude going, and you'll go far.
We're just about to
close out right now. And mm-hmm. I want to thank you again, Justin, for coming on the show today and taking your valuable time. We really enjoyed you. You've inspired elders as well as youth. So I close this show out in a prayer and ask God to continue to bless you, and ask God to continue to bless each and every one that listened to this show today. Hope that you go out and have a wonderful Saturday. And with that, we'll close it out, and we will see everybody back again, same time, next week, 10 o'clock Pacific. The number to call is 516-387-1611. All right, everybody. Have a
Happy
wonderful
Saturday.
Day.
Happy
Saturday,
Saturday
indeed.
Happy
All right,
Saturday,
Justin, thanks again.
Thanks for having me, Jensen. Thank you.
My pleasure. Hope to have you on soon.